Oh, just like Chelsea said, so thankful that each of you guys are here, especially you parents who and grandparents who trusted us with your kiddos this weekend to teach them about Jesus, and those of you who served all weekend and selflessly gave of yourselves. Man, that what an incredible weekend we've had so far. And those of you who are just popping in for this part of Kids Weekend, welcome. It is such a joy to be together. And we always say that kids are not a distraction to what God is doing. They are what God is doing. And so we want to make this space a space that's welcoming to every generation. And so I want to invite you, and if you, whatever age you are, to open a Bible with me today to John chapter 4. John's in your New Testament, and throughout the weekend, we've been talking about some big themes, right? We talked about on Friday, does anybody remember Friday's bottom line? You're going to have to really dig deep to remember Friday's bottom line. Okay, let me help you out a little bit. Jesus invites us to know and follow him. Jesus invites us to know and follow him. What about yesterday? Is anybody, that was a little closer. Does anybody remember yesterday, Miss Chelsea, and she shared from the scripture what our bottom line was yesterday about celebrating? That we celebrate the good news, right? Okay. Kids are a little slower this morning. Right? It's been a long weekend. You did not get enough sleep last night? Today, we're going to talk about Jesus who introduced himself to someone who really needed to meet him. First, I want to tell you about a friend of mine. When I was in school studying to become a pastor, we call it seminary, and I had a friend who was in several of my classes who went by the name Blake Adams when he was on stage because he was what's called a mentalist. Does anybody know what a mentalist is? You know, seen mentalists on TV shows? He was the real deal. He did it in real life, and it's almost like they can read people's minds. He was quick to say, like, hey, I'm a Christian and there's no sorcery happening here, whatever. This is like a skill that anybody can learn to just read people really well and kind of learn some things. So he would use that to his advantage in class. In fact, he would use it to all of our advantages in class because how many of you have ever taken a test or a quiz? You have, okay. There's a moment at the beginning of class when the professor walks in and says, we're having a quiz today, where everybody kind of goes, oh no. And I happened to be studying Greek with Blake, and our professor walked in today and said, we're having a quiz, and we all kind of go like, oh no, like, not sure I had all my translations done, I'm not sure I memorized all the vocabulary I'm going to need to know. And so Blake comes up with this great idea. He says, Dr. Weaver, if I could do something unique, would you give everybody some bonus points? And the professor's like, bonus? He's like, no, I'm not giving bonus points. And Blake said, well, what if I guess what the first question is on the quiz without seeing it? Would you give everybody bonus points? And the professor says, there's no way you can guess what the first question on the quiz is because I just made the quiz in my office by myself, printed it out, and brought it down to the class. There's no way you would ever know what the question was. And he would say, well, let's just say I could guess what the first question was. Would you give some bonus points? And he goes, sure, I'll give everybody 5 bonus points on the quiz if you can guess what it is. So Blake walks up to the front of the classroom and he stands with the professor and he kind of looks at him, doesn't say anything, he just looks at him, studies him for a minute, and he says, you played football in high school, right? And the professor goes, yeah, but what does that have to do with anything? He goes, well, I just was thinking about, you know, what I do is I kind of get to know people and I learn about them and that helps me, you know, kind of make some guesses at some things. And he says, so I'm guessing you were a linebacker. And the professor's like, well, yeah, I mean, you can probably tell by my build. I wasn't a wide receiver or a cornerback, you know. I was kind of a linebacker. And he goes, your number in high school, Blake says, was 47. And the professor kind of goes, how'd you know that? Yeah, that was a long time ago. Have you been stalking me on Facebook? Like, what's going on here? And so he looks at him a little bit longer, and he asks him a few more questions like that just to get to know him. And then finally he says, I think the first question on the quiz is, and he says it, and the professor is just going like, how could you possibly have known that? And he gave everybody 5 bonus points. And I thought, this is incredible. I love this guy. How would he have known any of that random stuff? Well, in his profession as a mentalist, he learns to read people and make educated guesses on things. And what happens in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, is that Jesus introduces himself to a woman, and he knows some things about her, but he doesn't need to use mentalism to find them out. He doesn't have to ask her any probing questions. He already knows what's going on in her life because he is God. So I want to show you what happens in this interaction where what, you know, my friend Blake could do in seemingly random situations, Jesus does very intentionally to teach us something about him. So we find Jesus traveling through a place called Samaria. He's coming from, if you can imagine this being a map, imaginary, he's got Judea on the bottom where he's been traveling and doing ministry. And then right above Judea is a place called Samaria. And then right above Samaria is a place called Galilee. He's trying to get from Judea to Galilee. And most people who were Jewish would go way around Samaria because they were sort of enemies to the Jewish people. There's a lot of history there. We can unpack it at a different time. But if you were a Jewish person versus a Samaritan person, it would be kind of like if your favorite soccer player is Ronaldo or your favorite soccer player is Lionel Messi. And the kids know what we're talking about. You adults are like, soccer, what's that? Okay. The kids know, so get with the program. But it's even more than that. It's even more than that. You see, even in our history as a country, we've had times where people who had different skin colors treated each other poorly. And this is similar to what's happening in Samaria and Judea and Galilee. Jewish people and Samaritans really didn't get along. And they really weren't supposed to be around each other. And Jewish people would make a great effort to go around Samaria, but Jesus said, I want to go through Samaria. And he goes to the place where really nobody else would go to meet a person that really nobody else cared about. Only he truly cared about this woman. And so let's see what happens. He's sitting at a well at noon, and he's thirsty. He's been traveling. His disciples have gone into town to get something to eat. And in chapter 4, verse 7, it says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Give me a drink, Jesus said to her, because his disciples had gone into town to buy food. Let me just pause there for a second. Kids, when you're reading the Bible and you see Jesus say, give me a drink, let me just tell you that the please was implied, okay? In that culture, he wasn't necessarily required to say please. In your homes, I bet you're taught to say please. And so Jesus, because Jesus didn't say please is not a good excuse for you, okay, in this situation. Give me a drink, he said to her. And she said, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? She asked him, for Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would ask him and he would give you living water. Now, verse 10 is very important because what we see is that this conversation isn't going to be about what this woman does have, which is access to water. It's going to be about what Jesus knows is the one thing she doesn't have, which is something deep inside of her that fulfills her. There's something at the very core of who she is that she is missing. And so he's going to address that for her. Let's keep reading. In verse 11, she says, sir, you don't even have a bucket and the well is deep. So where do you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock. So Jesus says, everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water I give him will never get thirsty again. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up in him for eternal life. What Jesus is talking about here is that the water he offers becomes a well inside of people, so that people no longer have to go to something outside of themselves to find true fulfillment, but rather Jesus can cause fulfillment to come from the inside and spill out. This is what Jesus is talking about. He's offering a way for people to be fulfilled, to find true joy and meaning in life from the inside out. But we naturally look from things on the outside to fulfill us, don't we? Kids, how many of you love having friends? Yeah, love having friends. And when you don't have a friend, sometimes you feel lonely or sad, right? And so you might think the only way to fix that scenario is to have a friend. How many of you like to have money? Yeah, I feel like I have money. But sometimes when you don't have money, it makes you feel kind of sad, or it makes you feel a little scared. And it can cause all kinds of emotions when you don't have that. And you think the only way that you can possibly fix that situation is to get more money. What about being popular? What if about friends who maybe don't, you want people to think a certain way about you. And maybe there's a situation where you embarrass yourself and you go, well, I don't want people to think that that's what I am, but that's what they're saying out there. And you think the only way to fix that is to do whatever it takes to be more popular. There's something inside of you that you need, like a hole that needs to be filled. And we start looking to things outside of us to try to fill that hole. We look to things like sports teams and trophies and all kinds of things to fill the hole that's on the inside. But just like a cool glass of water on a hot day, those things may be refreshing for a moment. But guess what? You're going to want more. You're always going to want more. Even the adults, you know what this is like in the room. You finish a task outside on a summer day and you walk in and you get that cool glass of water and you think, oh man, I needed that. What happens 30 minutes later? You're still sweating because East Texas and you just cannot cool off and you're thinking like, how can I possibly stop sweating? And you just got to keep drinking that water. That's like what it's like to find fulfillment from the outside in. When we looked at things like money or popularity or careers or trophies, and we keep trying to fill ourselves from the outside in, it will never fully satisfy us. We're always going to want more. But Jesus flips things around and he says, I can offer you fulfillment, true joy and happiness, but it starts on the inside and then it comes out. The things of this world will never truly fill or fulfill us. But Jesus offers something the world cannot. And this is today's bottom line. Kids, you ready? Today's bottom line? Okay, all right. The bottom line today is that Jesus offers joy when life doesn't. Jesus offers joy when life doesn't. Let's look at what this conversation goes with this woman. Verse 15, John chapter 4, she says, Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and come here to draw water. Well, something I think she's missing here. Because he's talking about something on the inside and she's still thinking about something on the outside, which is a lot of times how we think about Jesus. We think that, like this woman, if we can just add Jesus to the life we're currently living, that things will get better, that my life will be easier, that life may be more convenient. As if I just keep going the way I've been going, but just sprinkle a little Jesus on top, then it's all going to be good. This is what this woman was thinking. Give me that water you're offering. I would love to not have to come and do this chore every day, right? I would love for my life to be easier or better, as if Jesus is some sort of cheat code that as long as you know the code, you can apply it when it matters most. You guys play video games, right? You know any cheat codes? No? Oh, well, it's coming. You're going to learn some cheat codes, man. And then there's going to become a time in those games when you're going to need that cheat code. Or you're going to lose the game, and you're going to plug it in, and it's going to be like unlimited lives, and you're going to conquer the game. And that's how we think this life works. that Jesus is just sort of a cheat code, that I can just do the life the way I want, and when I really need him, I just apply that cheat code and boom, I'm good. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus needed a way to show her that there was a much deeper problem happening, that there was a bigger need to be addressed than just water. So let's keep reading. Jesus says something interesting. He says to her, go and call your husband and come back here. Now, this is a point where this woman probably started to get a little uncomfortable. And in verse 17, she says, I don't have a husband, she answered. And Jesus says, you have correctly said, I don't have a husband. You've had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. So what you've said is true. See, Jesus already knew what was going on inside of this woman. He already knew the hard things that she was going through. He already knew what mattered to her at the deepest levels. He already knew where she was looking to find fulfillment. He already knew, and he loved her enough to have this conversation. He came to her to offer her something better. And that's what Jesus is doing for us today. When he offers joy when life doesn't, it's because he knows if we keep wanting popularity and money and trophies and sports teams and friends to fill the hole that's in us, it'll never work. But he wants to offer us something better. So he's having an awkward conversation with this woman that is actually bringing up and opening maybe even some wounds for her. But she says in verse 19, sir, the woman replied, I see that you're a prophet. And she begins to talk about religion. This is what we think church does a lot of times, that church just wants to point out what's wrong with people and then give them a system of beliefs to make everything right again. That if you just do all the right things, then all the things that are wrong in your life will get better. But that's not really what church is. In fact, Jesus was not just trying to highlight the things that she had done wrong, as much as he was trying to highlight the fact that the things she hoped to find fulfillment through would never fulfill her truly. Jesus isn't just trying to condemn this woman or move this woman into a better form of behavior. He was trying to show her the reality that existed in her heart at the deepest part of who she was, that she would never be able to find true joy and happiness on her own or in the way that she wanted it. But he still offered a better way. Jesus offers joy when life doesn't. Now, as they talk about religion, they talk about worship and which mountains where true worshipers are, and Jesus gives her an answer, but verse 25 is really important. The woman says to him, all this talk about religion, it doesn't matter because I know that the Messiah is coming, that God's chosen one to save the world, who is called Christ, is coming, and when he comes, he'll explain everything to us. But Jesus tells her, I, the one speaking to you, am he. Which is a kind of a crazy way to say, hey, you're talking to the Messiah. All these questions that you're looking for answers for, everything that feels empty inside of you, everywhere you look for fulfillment, Jesus is saying to her, I am the answer. And that's what Jesus wants us to hear today too. That whatever you're looking for in life to find fulfillment and joy and happiness, the answer is only found in Jesus Christ. He is God's chosen one, the Son of God, who God sent to earth to live a perfect life because we could not live perfect lives, to become a sacrifice for our sin, for our imperfections. Jesus became the sacrifice to pay the penalty that we owed to God because of our sin, that if we would just trust him by faith, he would give us the free gift of eternal life. This is the good news of Jesus. This is what it means for Jesus to be the Messiah. That as we're studying outside of Kids Weekend, the story of Genesis, the very beginning of the Bible, and how it points to the very end, what we're seeing in this statement in verse 26 is that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the scripture. That everything God planned from beginning to end finds its true meaning in him. Jesus is the only thing that can fill the empty void in our lives, where we find true fulfillment and happiness. Now, we put faith in Jesus to find this. And that doesn't mean life just gets easy all the time. No, life is still hard because we have to deal with a world that is sinful and broken and where people are mean and there's bullies and all kinds of things, right, kids? We see this happening around us, and things will happen to you as happened to this woman, not just things she did, but things that happened to her that were hurtful, that were painful, that she had to endure, that she was traumatized by. I mean, there's all kinds of things in here for this woman at the well that are not fun things. And even in trusting Jesus, she still was left with the consequences or the shrapnel or the after effects of all those things that both she did and things that happened to her. So what does that mean? When you say yes to Jesus' invitation to know and follow him, you will find that through life's hard things, Jesus is the source of joy deep inside of you, so that now you know you are no longer defined by what you do or by what happens to you. You're no longer defined by what people say about you even, but you can be defined by Jesus Christ and who he is. As the God of the universe, the creator of all things, who comes to you as an individual in love to invite you into something better, into true joy and happiness. This is what Jesus does. People who follow the things of this world will always be left empty. But people who follow Jesus find true and lasting joy that changes them from the inside out. Jesus offers hope when life doesn't. Jesus offers joy when life doesn't. Jesus offers peace when life doesn't. Jesus is salvation. Nothing else in life can be. That's the truth. So what happens to this woman? The story kind of jumps couple of places, so let me just read to you verse 28. It says, then the woman left her water jar, went into town, and told the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? And they left the town, and they made their way to him. What's interesting to me here is that she left her water jar. Like, the thing that she went to the well to do is to get water, and she left it behind because now she experienced what was better. The thing that she went to get to fulfill herself with, she left with something that could then spill out of herself to others. She left with something better, something that truly fulfilled her. And she went and got more people to introduce them to Jesus. And that's been a theme this week, right? About how we go and get other people and introduce them to Jesus because he's so good and he's worth celebrating, right, kids? Verse 39, now many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of what the woman said when she testified, he told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of what he said. And they told the woman, we no longer believe because of what you said, since we've heard for ourselves and know that this really is the Savior of the world. Are you here because someone in your life believes? Did you come to Kids Weekend because you have a friend who invited you that believes in Jesus? Did you come to Kids Weekend because one of your parents' friends invited you to come to Kids Weekend who believes in Jesus? Maybe a grandparent believes in Jesus. Maybe it's someone else in your family, parents. Maybe it's a child in your family that believes in Jesus, and that's why you're here today. The question is, like the Samaritan people, will you come to the place where you see Jesus for who he truly is and listen to his invitation to you to know him and follow him? And will you choose faith in Jesus for yourself to find true fulfillment and joy through forgiveness of sin and through an eternal relationship with the God who made you, who wants you to experience fullness of life and joy and peace for eternity? Will you choose to believe? That's the question for every person today. And there's not a person in this room who can't answer that question. No matter how old you are, you have the choice to know and follow Jesus because he invites everyone. If you feel like an outsider, the Samaritan woman was an outsider. Jesus sees you. He's coming to you. You don't have to go to him. He's already come to you, and he's inviting you to know and follow him, to fill the void in your life that nothing else can fill. This is the good news of Jesus, and it's so exciting to see it in the Bible. I want to lead us in prayer this morning, and I'm going to invite Haley and our worship team to come back and help us close out in a time of music. But as I pray, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to answer it between you and God silently as I pray. You don't have to tell me right now. And the question is, do you believe in Jesus because of who he is? And are you ready to know him and follow him? Because that is the invitation. So as I pray, you answer that question for yourself in your heart. And then when we leave today, I want you to tell somebody, your parent, your friend, one of your teachers from the weekend, about what you believe about Jesus, okay? Let me pray, and then we'll sing. God, thank you for Kids Weekend. I thank you for the example of Jesus who makes kids more important than anything else. Thank you that we get to be a church that celebrates our kids and that sometimes gets to act like kids. We love it. Thank you, God, that you are honored by this weekend. And that even when we have fun and we celebrate and there's sparkly things around the building and it's just a good time, that brings glory to you. Thank you for the example of Jesus and this woman at the well, because we are like her. We're outcast. Things have not gone right in our lives. We have looked to all kinds of things for fulfillment. But you have given us your own son, Jesus, to be the savior of the world, the savior of our hearts and lives. So help anyone in this room, God, who needs to take a step of faith, to put trust in you, to know and follow you with their whole lives. Give them courage to do that. God, give them courage to tell somebody. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.